Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. We have the great fun today of continuing our exploration of insights folks are having around communication in relation to the email class. And I'm joined by two fellow monks to do just that. Welcome, Lakota.
Hey, Jen.
And welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So, Sequoia, maybe we could start out with you, what you're seeing. What are some of your favorite insights around communication as you've been participating in the class?
Sure, I'd love to. This is great to have this opportunity today. It's perfect. One of the things that first arose for me is that I can always count on hearing the same voice over and over again. You don't know what to say. And it has frequently stopped this person. And the most fun thing that arose out of class is, you know what? I never knows what to say.
Exactly right.
And the heart always knows what to say.
It was
huge, and it's just been fun.
Yeah, you know, and that's so perfect. I love the way you laid that out, that you can count on that voice to say that. And the reason it's so helpful is that, so when it says it, you can just go, well, of course, right? And that's it. That's the end of the conversation, right? Then you can have the true communication.
You know, it's just to know, to get its lines down. You know, this is so helpful. I've heard that line in this play before.
Right, exactly.
And it usually means this, but it can now lead to this other, I can put a twist to the plot here.
Go ahead.
It just gives this person, let's say, a starring role in her life.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that's a great image. Because usually she's a bit part. Or not even. She's sort of just the one tortured by the scene. But that's such a great illustration of the power of a behavior change, right? Because there's the script, and the script is a script of suffering. And what it counts on is everybody has to play their part just exactly the way they've always played their part. So if you do even something tiny, seemingly tiny, different, it's not in the script. Yeah. And so just that changes everything around and gives the possibility of that gap where an awareness can come in and shine the light on what's actually happening.
Absolutely. I mean, I find it just takes, you know, just opening the mouth and saying one word just pressing one button on the keyboard starting and then life takes over. So it's great.
It's that old thing of a body in motion tends to stay in motion, a body at rest tends to stay at rest, right? So if conditioning's got you in that inertia of, that it's so classic, you don't know what to say. You know, it's talking to you. You don't know what to say. And it sounds like trying to keep you in that inertia, but once you make any movement, you begin in any direction, that gives the opening for life to take over.
Absolutely. And find out once again that it's a lying liar.
It's a lying liar. Yeah, exactly. And that life knows what to say. Life knows how to communicate.
Life knows how to communicate always. And
always.
It's a treasure, and to get to find out what life has to say, and very enlivening.
Yeah, it really is. Great. Thanks for that, Sequoia.
Sure.
And Lakota, how about you? What are you seeing?
Wow, this is such a fun and inspiring conversation. I love that line that was just shared about how we just do that one tiny, like seemingly minuscule thing differently, and the whole scene is different. Everything comes apart. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and you know, there's so many filmmakers who have depicted that, who have picked up on that. and, you know, done that thing of, you know, it happens over and over and over again. But then that one thing changes, and it starts to open the whole thing up, starts to shake the foundation that we're never supposed to see.
Such an exciting place. Yeah. I'm having my own experience of that today in a little behavior change of just receiving information in a place of welcoming information, kind of that when we're ready to be taught everything in life teaches us. It was one of those insights that just came in like, whammo. I've had so many insights throughout this class, hundreds, but my favorite is the one that's happening right now. I walked into the dining hall and I saw on the guest master board a note to kind of, a general note to everybody about guest master notes and about how they're meant to be a brief communication, kind of an FYI or a question. It's not meant to be a venue for processing stuff, and they're not meant to be real lengthy. And as soon as I read that, I instantly flashed on, oh, earlier this morning I wrote like a brief novel. It was like a 4-page quote note, you know, and it was just, it was so great to see that from this wonderful place. I mean, and that note, you know, or the posting to all residents, you know, I just project such kindness onto that. And and that it wasn't like we don't ever process things. It's that if you want to process something, there's a venue for it. And this isn't it, you know, the guest master note. And I just saw in that how that just relates to everything in communication, is that ego wants to process everything. It wants it all to be lengthy, and it wants to communicate at inappropriate times. And life is straightforward, simple, to the point. It's often brief, and it's always timely at appropriate location, appropriate time. Amazing.
It's truly amazing, and I'm really glad this is being recorded, because everything you just said, certainly I can relate to a T. I'm guessing most other folks can, but and there's so much in it, really, Lakota. First, I have to go all the way back. You said, you know, there are so many insights, hundreds of them, but my favorite one is the one I'm having right now. I bet we can always say that. My favorite insight is the one I'm having right now, which is great. It's so perfect because it is, right? It's the moment we're in. But, yeah, that place of, I mean, the thing that you're saying, there's the insight of it, and then there's the process of it that I'm projecting you're bringing to it, which is so amazing. It actually reminds me of one of the responses in the class that changed my life when Sherry, I can't remember the exact wording, but Sherry and one of the participants were having an exchange, and just getting it that it's about complete unconditional love and acceptance for the being and the process that the being is going through.
Wow,
and to bring that, so there's that note posted on the board, and then, you know, conditioning wants to do whatever. Well, look at that novel that you wrote and blah, blah, blah. But with practice, stepping back to that place of this is for me, this is for all of us, and seeing the kindness of it and seeing the care in that, in the communication. And that's really kind of, it's the whole thing right there, isn't it? It's Sequoia saying life knows how to communicate. Life communicates from that kind, open, generous place. And then conditioning it from that closed down, it's all about me, you know, defended kind of a place. So no wonder it doesn't really go well, usually, communication, because we receive it from that conditioned place.
No doubt, yeah. And it's a really wonderful place being able to access that, that place of openness, of willing to be taught and willing to be informed by life, because in that, an instruction or a kind of teaching that would seem to be about a particular just broadens out to this incredible thing that's, you know, I see universal application. I see all of the ways that ego communicates in that one little thing. It's just amazing.
Very
fun.
It's really fun. Yeah, so when you don't take it personally, when you actually experience the kindness in the communication, then it broadens out from just this one little thing about guest master notes to a much broader application to your entire life, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Like I saw in this particular example how ego, you know, it wants to do this thing of like just nonstop kind of quote processing, but really often that's just kind of a camouflage for ego getting to tell the story. And it wants to do it at really inappropriate times. I see it, you know, in guest master notes, and then I see it out in the world of, like, for example, wanting to get into a really intense emotional kind of, you know, deep processing conversation with somebody as we're stepping out the door to go to a movie, you know, or something like that. It's just, it's not the time, you know, or,
right, right.
And it's not that you can't ever have that kind of conversation, but yeah, there's a time and a place, and there's a lot of kindness in that.
Tons, because of course what we can see in that is that's a total setup.
Totally,
right?
Exactly.
So you're being set up to get the result that, see, I knew it, this relationship isn't working. This person doesn't want to listen to me. They don't care, right? So you get the behavior pushes us right towards the belief that's already there.
Oh my gosh, yeah. There's so much in it. And then I just, the last thing I saw that's just amazing is something Sherry offered to a participant, a couple of different participants in the email class, that mm-hmm. the recorder is this magical thing, you know, that we can save our loved ones from all this stuff, you know, all this untimely, unnecessary stuff by, mm-hmm. you know, you want to process, you do it in the recorder. And then kind of what comes out on the other side, in my experience, is succinct and timely
yeah.
and appropriate and loving, and everyone feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Boy. Well, I'll tell you, this is a fun process of bringing people on to interview them about this, because I have gotten so much from every single person and what they've talked about. So many, many thanks to both of you for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Sequoia. And thank you, Lakota. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you feeling?
Good. I'm good. Last time I talked with you, you were a little under the weather.
Yeah, I still am. It's a little bit persistent, kind of mild sore throat.
Oh.
And I've been doing some Huber Cure every day. And a lot of acceptance, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think allergies are worse this year than a lot of years for a lot of people, huh? Maybe that's what it is.
Oh,
that's
I wonder. I never thought of that. I wonder if that's what it is.
Hmm. Well, it's one of those when it never goes away. I find, you know, when it just keeps going on with those same symptoms, I start thinking, allergies.
So, oh, okay.
I'm going to be hopeful. Okay.
Thanks for that possibility.
Yeah. So I had a little comment about our friends there on the Good News Update.
Oh, good. I did too.
Shall I make it? Oh, you did? What was yours?
Well, I'm between jobs right now for about 2 weeks by design, and because it's nice to have some downtime and spend some more time on practice. And I've read every single response, I think, in the email class, and it's just so fabulous.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah,
wow.
And I have renewed respect for you. I mean, I know you're there for hours and hours typing, but to read each response, it's like, wow.
Well, somebody just talked to me about the email class and said, now, I was really glad that a friend gave me this tip that I could put it all in a Word document and save it, because the eyes are just kind of rolling back. She said, because there's just no way I could keep up with all that. And then she looked at me and said, I don't see how you do.
Yeah,
it's a lot. But, doing the Huber Cure, reading that stuff, that has to feel good for the body.
Yeah, it's very peaceful. It's really a lovely time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well,
thank you.
I was going to note that people who come to the monastery to be a visiting monk, get to process with those people all the time. How's that for an advertisement? Listening to these monks talk about what they're getting out of the class, you know, of course, it's because they're a particular enneotype, but nobody's saying what they are, which is very, very mysterious. You know, just it's just stunning, the depth of practice that people are articulating so beautifully. And so anyway, just a little advertisement for they are there, and we
yes.
can be there with them anytime we choose.
Yes, and it's great to get such a profound modeling of great communication, you know, from everybody there at the monastery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Do you have announcements?
I do. To immerse yourself in practice, sign up for the new In This Way, I Do Most Deeply Vow to Train Myself retreat. That's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, August 31st through September 4th.
Yes, and you know, sometime around that, I think it's right before that, for anybody who can't actually make it to the retreat, Ashwini and I are going to be in Harrisburg doing a, I think it's a Sunday afternoon thing, Sunday evening thing at the Unitarian Church, which is has been a particular favorite of mine for years, and we had a little gap, and now joining them again once a year. So if anybody's in the neighborhood and wants to stop by, we'd love to see you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And the foundational There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat is a great first retreat, as well as one worth repeating often. Don't miss the retreat in North Carolina, and that's July 24th through 31st. And information about these and other practice opportunities is available at schedule.livingcompassion.org. And a couple of reminders. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make Gash Show by pressing *6 and then 1. And it's helpful to stay on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes.
I'm going to endeavor to do that pretty soon, Michael.
Wonderful.
We're not none of us will hold our breath, though, right?
Okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, guys. This is Jenna from Pittsburgh.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm good. I'm really good. The last time I talked with you was in Bethlehem at the retreat.
Yes.
And I'll be there again,
yes.
You know, summer. But I took off a year from working and just did a small side job. And I've just been loving practice all year.
Oh, good. That's a wonderful gift to give oneself, isn't it? Time to focus on practice.
Yeah, it was a little scary because I had to cash out a pension and take a little risk. But it was worth it. I talked to a Zen coach twice a week, and it's everything I've been doing, email classes and the intensives and everything, has drastically changed my life, drastically.
Good. Good. That's all we ask, you know.
Well, the reason I called is I wanted to talk a little bit about the Enneagram. I love it. And today I kind of had this profound awareness that I really am a 3. I thought I was a 4 and kind of maybe a 3, but I finally got it that I use different language, but the orientation and ego gets right in there and hits every part of my life. It's the first time I saw this today. It's almost creepy, you know? Like, I feel like I'm in a horror show. Like, I can't believe it's had its horrible little tentacles in my life so deeply, but I finally got it at a deeper level today.
Those you know those images of the hungry ghost?
Yeah.
You know the I think part of that is those god-awful fingers, right, that you're describing, that they're just, it's deep. It goes deep in us.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and I never would have realized, it's funny, you know, I never would have realized that the message was that I'm a failure or I'll be a failure because I kind of use different language, but I finally got it, but it feels so empowering because over the last couple weeks or month or couple months, the mentor and presence, you know, has kind of been with me so much that now sometimes when ego suggests things, I just say something like, oh, no, that's not true. And I totally bypass the suffering, and it's just been heaven.
I cannot tell you. You have just made my, I don't know what, day, week, month.
I know.
So, can I tell you why?
Please.
All right. So, I'm working with this group of people, and I said, the thing that I want us to focus on, and this is going to be the thing in practice which you're going to love and know that you've been hugely instrumental in getting us rolling, okay? I said, what I want us to get to the point of being able to do is hear something come up in conditioned mind, and our response to it is, well, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Now, it can be helpful then to jot it down and to say, now I'm gonna ask the mentor about that.
Yeah.
Yeah? And as you say, get to the point where we completely bypass the whole drama.
Yeah, yeah. It's completely amazing. I mean, there are no words.
Oh.
Yeah, the sticky content came up to me, and I was right on the edge, and I was like, no.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
No, that's a lie. No,
and
I'm
believe
not going there. I'm not listening to that.
Yeah, so this is, yeah, that's great. I do have a little question, though.
Okay. As long as we can just bask in the beauty and wonder of that. So everybody takes that in, right? We can start small, right? We don't have to just start with the very biggest slimy tentacle that has embedded itself, right? But just with, you need to, or you'd better, or they thought such and such, or whatever, just listen for them. And then when you know it's a lie, and it always is, that's the thing I want to emphasize. If you hear somebody talking to you like that in your head, they are lying. Okay? So to just say, well, that's not true. That's a lie. I'm going to talk to the mentor about that.
And I think I got it because I'm realizing it's all connected to thinking I'm a failure. That was the critical piece, and I really got it. Now it's like, oh, wait, the judgment's based on that I'm a failure. I know that's not true, therefore that must not be true.
Yes.
And it seems
just apply
so
a little logic.
Mm-hmm. My little baby question is that I noticed in my throat for years now, I have this coughing that goes on when I get really nervous. And I'm seeing that it does relate to when I think I'm a failure, about to fail. It was even hard for me to call today because, you know, I'd fail at what I would say to you. But I just wanted to know what you thought about the chakras and right there at the throat where the throat meets the heart.
Hmm. Well, and that supposedly, God knows this is not an area of expertise for me. But I did have a good friend. He's no longer with us, so it's not that we would still be friends if he were still alive. But it was a huge area of expertise for him, and he talked about it a lot. And what he talked about, of course, was that it is the chakra of communication and also of personal identity and personal individual survival. So the first chakra is survival on a kind of a staying alive way, right? So it's it's procreation. It's the tribe. It's belonging. It's making it, right? That sort of level of survival. And the fifth chakra is a personal identity. So who you are as a person, at which to me is exactly what you're pointing at. And so as we begin to sort of mess with that, we'll often get throat things. I just thought about that with Michael, with changing a job. And even though mm-hmm. it's a choice, it's a decision, it's still, it can rev up a lot of personal identity sorts of things. So, yeah. One of the things that that Walter used to talk about was breathing in a pale blue, picturing pale blue, even it's not the right time of year, but if you could wear like a pale blue scarf around your neck, that sort of thing. So because pale blue is very healing for that chakra. So that's kind of the sum total of my knowledge. And drink a lot. Hydrate.
Healthy drink.
Not drink to escape, but make sure that you have lots of liquids to soothe the throat.
I will. Well, I will keep on practicing. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Well, you're just as welcome as you can be. Thank you. Thank you for that and giving me the opportunity to launch and underline that insight, that awareness that you had. I'm hoping everybody takes it up.
Yes, I'm glad we made a chance to talk. So, soon.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Grace from Cornwall in the UK.
Well, hello. How are you doing?
Hi. Ooh, I'm still a bit nervous.
Oh, let's just breathe for a couple of seconds here. Now, are you joining us in the middle of the night?
I am, yeah. It's 1:30 here.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty late.
Thank you. That's just inspiring.
Yeah. It's taken me a long time to call back after the last time, but I've made it, so I'm glad I got on. I'm afraid my news isn't quite as positive as the last caller, but I've been really sort of recently really struggling with practice, actually, and that's why I thought I'd call and maybe get some support, really.
May I? Here's the deal. It's always a good time to call. Whether we're lit up because we've had huge insights and breakthroughs or whether we're struggling, it's always good to communicate about what's going on with practice. This is good.
When I first got into practice, it was like, I read There's Nothing Wrong With You, and it was like something in me cracked open. And since then, my practice has just sort of built and built and built, and it's been getting better and better. And then sort of recently, it's just kind of gone, and I feel like I've lost my connection with it, to the point where I've almost stopped. If it wasn't for my coach, I probably would have drifted away, I think, for a bit anyway. So I'm sort of feeling quite a lot of resistance, basically, to practice. And it's coming up in my awareness now as well, because I booked a 7-day silent retreat, and I'm starting to panic about it because I feel so disconnected from practice that I think it's going to be like torture.
Well, now, of course, I got to tell you the timing of that. When did you book this?
I booked it Christmas, just after like January time.
So you were into practice at that time?
Yeah, really into it then.
Yeah, okay. So this is good. All right. So Now, you know why this is happening, don't you?
Yes, and it's working because I'm going, maybe I should just cancel this retreat. This is madness, what am I thinking?
It's working. So ego said, that's been lovely. You've had a lovely time. We're really happy for you. Now get back in line.
Yeah.
Enough of this, focused on all of this stuff. You need to focus on me.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's doing a good job.
Yes. Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. Even when I read the books and stuff, it's like it doesn't go to my, you know, like when I used to read the books, it used to sort of re-inspire me and wake me up again. But and listening to the open airs, but it's not doing that now. It's kind of like I'm just listening to it, and it's just words. It's not going to my heart.
That's right, because you're not really listening.
No, maybe not.
No. Yeah. So that we know the answer to that one, and
yeah.
And so, what's your recording and listening practice like?
It was getting better and better, and now it's stopped. I still struggle a little bit with the mentor. I never know how to say that. I still struggle with that a little bit, just because I have a lot of doubt around whether I'm doing it right or I don't know.
Okay.
But I was doing it a lot more.
Okay. So here's my suggestion. And then, mm-hmm. When is this retreat?
In 2 weeks, so 13th of June.
Hmm. Okay, we don't have a lot of time.
No.
So here's my suggestion. I'm going to ask you to get out your recorder and start to make a recording. I don't know if it's going to be one or several or however you're going to do it, but here's what it focuses on.
Yep.
Why I wanted to do awareness practice in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
What was going on with you? How you felt? What your life was like? What happened to you when you started practice? How you felt? How it changed your life? And to do kind of an honest assessment of where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't sound terribly lit up to me.
No.
No.
Yes.
So, and so in doing that, and you, there will be resistance. Oh, there will be resistance. Okay. But to do it, because here's the deal. There's a human being who was suffering, who mm-hmm. was struggling, right?
Yeah.
And she found something that brought her out of that struggle, out of that suffering.
Yeah.
And now that has been taken away from her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really want you to get in touch with her so that you really get what is involved in abandoning her.
Okay.
So, for instance, so I'm sorry that your life isn't working. I really am. I wish it could be different, but you know, I'm just not really interested in doing anything to help you. So, I could feel bad about it, but you know, the bottom line is I just really don't care.
Yeah.
And, of course, you would never say that.
No.
But if you're not careful, that's what's being said.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is basically what I'm being told, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. You're not important. You don't matter. Okay, so your life was good for a while. Just be grateful for that. But, you know, we're not interested in you being happy or feeling good or having a good life or being fulfilled. You know, we're just not interested in that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you want to go get her, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. I do really want to get back there, and I think I'm being told that, you know, that practice doesn't work, and that's, you know, that's why it felt important to ring, because I think I was being told that practice doesn't work, might as well give up. And
you know that's not true.
I know that's
right?
not true.
Yeah. And that's, but when we get caught in a conversation like that, we forget what we know is true.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the importance of getting that recorder out and saying what you know to be true.
Yeah.
And then listening to what you know to be true. Because otherwise, there's just one voice. And that voice is really not interested in your well-being.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Now, there's part two, okay?
Okay.
Part two is not to let those voices talk you into anything about that retreat. So that retreat is just going to be your opportunity to be with you, however that is, to practice accepting her in unconditional love and acceptance, regardless of the circumstances.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to have fun. She doesn't have to like it. She doesn't have to want to do it. I suspect she does, of course. But, you know, just everybody's going to be there. It's 7 days of silence, for God's sake. You know, expect to see everybody show up. And all you're doing is practicing being present. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
No standards.
Going home.
No expectations. Yeah. No judgments. No anything. Just practicing being present. That's it.
Great. Thanks very much. I really appreciate your help.
And then you're going to let me know, huh?
Yes, I will ring back.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Hopefully not in a year's time. Thank you so
much. Hopefully what?
Hopefully not in in another year's time.
Right. No. Let's connect before then. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks
a lot.
Thanks. Bye.
Good night.
Night. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Grace, in the middle of the night.
Wow. Brave souls, huh?
And to be calling in with the voices doing that to us, very courageous, inspiring.
Yeah. Courageous people.
Courageous song. And listen to a message from our coach.
This year's theme is training to live in this here now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services, under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
All right, thank you.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Ladima.
Oh, hi. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm back in.
What are you up to?
Well, I'm back at work, back at my job. Last time I talked to you, I was in New York.
Yes, doing film.
Yes. And now I'm back. I've been back in my job, and so that's part of what I was calling to talk about. It's kind of what goes through my head all day.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, give us a snapshot.
So I have this. It's almost like a taxi meter running in my head all day long, of how I'm spending every minute of my time, whether that minute is being spent on something that is work-related or something that is not work-related. And I don't know if this is in part because I've been a consultant and I've been billable, and so I've had to kind of keep track of this. But I think this has been going on for years, and it's just and it's a constant chatter and judge and critic that's keeping score and saying you know, how I'm spending my time. So I've started noticing it, but I know it's just sucking away my energy, and I can't seem to get it to stop.
Okay. So. Now, does it why is it doing this? Is there an implication that it cares, that you should be doing something different, that
Well, it tends to it tends to do it more when it's something that's not, when I'm doing something not work-related, that's, quote, on work time.
Oh, so it's monitoring you.
Oh, yes.
The implication is that it cares, that this is some ethical, honorable?
Potentially, yes. Mm-hmm. Or trying to keep me from getting in trouble.
So the implication that somebody's going to watch you, catch you, and then something bad's going to happen to you.
Or I'll goof off long enough, I won't get done the things that I need to get done, and then it'll be, I'll be embarrassed or caught or whatever, yeah.
And are you goofing off? Is that what you're doing?
Sometimes, yes.
Uh-huh.
Or and most of the time, it's not on purpose. So the other side of this is the voice that talks me into procrastinating, or doesn't support me in staying focused on what needs to get done during the day.
Uh-huh.
But almost like if I identify three things that really need to get done, immediately there will be a voice trying to talk me into, this would be a good time to pay that bill that you've been meaning to pay, or call your mom because she's not feeling well, or whatever it is, any number of things. And then, so that's that side of it. And then the side that's the taxi meter starts in and saying, yeah, well, you shouldn't be doing that, but you can justify it. Here's how you can justify it. So it's kind of both sides. And and so then, it never helps because I still end up procrastinating and winding up with piles of things to do and at the last minute and stressing out.
Yes, because it sounds as if quite a lot of your attention is on that process.
Yes, it is. And then part of it almost seems like it's running even when I'm not necessarily directly paying attention to it, it's running.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's playing in the background.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Constantly.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the thing that is so helpful to catch on to is that it's playing both roles. Right?
Yeah.
It's distracting you, and then it's concerned that you're distracted.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. There's enough of a gap in between, and it changes voices. So it's like, you know, someone reading a story to a little kid. So the voice sounds different. I mean, it's the same person reading.
Yeah, you've caught on to the fact that it is the same person, or person in quotes, but the same, yeah.
Right.
And so, of course, then what it wants us to do, because this is particular content, but of course this process happens with just about every human being as far as I can tell. So what we're then meant to do is solve this problem. Right? So this is where you could start talking to you about time management,
or
it already has clearly.
Yes. Oh, yes. We've got books on time management and apps on time management. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So now that it's created a problem, it's going to get you to focus on problems that it has created.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So it's layer after. This is where it really is helpful for everybody to see. Okay, it's layer after layer after layer after layer after layer. So,
oh, yes. This is years and years and years in the making.
You walk down you walk down the corridor, you open the door, you walk through the door, there's another corridor and another door and another corridor and another door. And each one there's the implication that this is the way out. But of course, it's a way deeper in.
Oh my gosh. Yes, you have just described it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, what the solution is?
I don't. That's why I called.
Well, you're just going to love the simplicity of it. Don't do it.
Okay.
That really is what it comes down to. It's my favorite, you know, so I bite my fingernails and then I come up with stuff to put on my fingers so that I don't bite my fingernails, and then the stuff tastes so nasty that I have to get something to eat right after and so it's that same thing, new corridor, another door, and what it really comes down to is I need to stop putting my fingers in my mouth. That's the only thing that's ever going to fix it, because there isn't, it's not that I have a problem that needs to be solved. The problem exists. The problem starts when I put my fingers in my mouth.
Okay. The problem The problem starts when I start doing the thing.
When you engage with it. It starts when you engage with it. So
does
when
that mean
it starts.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure I mean that I'm clear on when it starts. Does it start when I'm goofing off?
Well,
or does it
start? Go ahead.
Does it start when I'm goofing off at work, or does it start when the voice starts about me goofing off?
Starts when the voice starts that talks you into goofing off.
Okay.
And you gave a perfect example. Well, this would be a good time to pay that bill. Why don't you call your mother? She's not feeling that great. Why don't you give her a quick call? It's like a drug dealer, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's making a case. Well, you could. Why don't you? You know, you've been wanting to look that up. You've got a few minutes here. Why don't you go ahead and look that up? And as soon as you attend to it, it's got you. Because it is a drug dealer, and that's the drug, right? That's the one that you're hooked on.
Right. Yeah. And all this is complicated by the fact that I work from home. And so I don't have set work hours per se. I have to sort of make those up myself.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my company doesn't call it, it's not called work-life balance anymore. It's called work-life integration, because you might need to work in the middle of the night because you might have a call with someone on the other side of the world. So that feeds into the justification side of it. It's like, well, you might have to take a call later, so it's okay to do this now.
That's right.
Or you'll just work longer. You can just work longer. But then I end
right up until it talks you out of not working longer.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a perfect the situation is set. It's a setup for it. It's
oh,
a perfect situation. The circumstances
yes.
are perfect for this little drama yes. to play out.
Absolutely, and you're not alone in this. Okay. Our lives are perfectly structured for our karma.
Hmm.
Right? So every choice we make leads us to where we are. And if karma, if ego is calling the shots, then of course it's going to set it up for its maximum comfort. And its comfort is your discomfort.
Right.
Yeah. So here's my encouragement, and it actually does have to do with time management. And that is, get a coach, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Set up your schedule. Set it up a week at a time. Okay? Work with a mentor, work with a coach to get a really good schedule.
Okay.
And then work, and then what you're doing is watching how you get talked out of doing it.
Okay.
Right? Now, here's one that you can master immediately. Okay? There is no, well, you might have to do a call later, so it's okay. Nope, we're not doing that. Okay?
Okay.
If I do a call later, then I will look at going forward how I might want to compensate for that.
Okay.
Like take a nap in the afternoon because that
right.
was up in the
okay.
middle of the night, right? But it's always after the fact. There's
okay.
no,
right.
There's no, well, this could happen, so why don't you do this now? Because that's,
okay.
that's an ugly con, right?
Right.
Yeah, but the important thing about it is, and this is what makes it awareness practice, not problem solving. What we're doing is making a commitment, making an agreement, setting up a schedule to see how we get conned out of keeping our decision, keeping our commitment.
Okay, I'm writing this down.
Yeah. It's a huge difference because, of course, what karma wants a person to do is make a decision, make a commitment, get talked out of it, and get beaten up and called a
oh,
failure.
Oh, yeah, over and over and over and over again.
Over and over and over. So we're not playing that game because you've done that.
Right.
What we're doing, the whole point of this is to watch how it happens. So instead of your attention is on the voices are controlling your behavior, your attention is on the voices as they judge and assess what you're doing, your attention is on the voices as they beat you up for having failed again, okay? But you're completely engaged in the content of what's happened. With this,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be completely focused on the process. What is it
completely
saying?
Focused on the process.
Yes. What is it saying now? What is the argument it's making now? What is it doing to control my attention now? So my favorite image, you know, there you are at the magic show, and you just watch it mesmerized. And then there's the pigeon flying out of the whatever. Okay? Wow, isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? Day after day after day, you watch this, right? You're just fascinated. Then one day it occurs to you to wonder, how does that happen? How does he
mm-hmm.
do that? Okay, now you're a completely different person having a completely different experience. Now you're no longer just mesmerized and going along with the program. Now you're watching to see how does that happen? Where's that pigeon before it flies out of that hat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the road to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Got it.
All right. You're going to let me know, right? This is definitely a work in progress.
Yes, this is.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's very complex and convoluted in its implementation, but it's incredibly simple to see through.
Okay.
You've just been looking in the wrong place. Now you're going to be looking in the right place.
Okay.
Yeah. Very fun.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
You are so welcome. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, great. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Ladima. I saw my whole life in that, Sherry, so thank you for that illumination.
Yeah. Good, isn't it? I mean, all of us. It's just that's how karma works. The content is slightly different for us, but that process is the same.
Yes, it is. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Rochelle in Charlotte.
Well, how are you?
I am doing well. How are y'all doing?
Great, great.
Good, good.
What's going on?
Well, I called really because I really love the guide's paragraph in not this present newsletter, but the last newsletter about hair. And it really struck a chord with me, and that was the one where a spiritual leader sat and had blonde hair when she'd been dark hair for a while. And about just ridiculous karma around ridiculous things type of thing. Because it struck a chord with me. Because I cut my hair within September last year. And hair has always been a issue in the family and the culture, and my mother is always like, did you comb your hair and things like that. When I went to the monastery, a lot of people were concerned about what I was going to do with my hair. And I was like, I really don't particularly care. And so when I cut my hair, I've been astounded at people's interest in hair. It's just hair. And I can have major discussions about, you know, very serious matters and ask, are there any questions or are we, you know, and people ask, well, when did you decide to go natural? And I'm like, really? You're talking about these serious things and you want to talk about my hair?
Uh-huh.
It's funny. And
it's real issues, right?
Exactly.
Real
exactly. Issue. And like, how I do my hair means something, type of thing. And there people are like, oh wow, you went natural, and you know, like it's a political or a lifestyle statement. When it was like, well, no, I was just having hot flashes, and I was tired of it, and I cut it. It's really pretty simple. It's not a big lifestyle thing, type of thing.
But so what does it mean?
Exactly. What does it mean? What's your philosophy about hair and products and chemicals and things like that? And I'm like, really? I don't. It just means I don't spend time worrying about it. And so that just really struck a chord with me. I thought it was really funny. It's surprising who people feel the need to comment or remark about my hair. There was a lady who was like 98 years old, and she told me, well, it's nice, but it doesn't look very professional. And I'm like, really? You know, what does it matter? It's just hair. So it's interesting, the different karmas and the things that you know, I was surprised about how much conversation it would be about my hair when I was just like, just more convenient this way.
And the things that that we don't question in ourselves, like, you know, that lady, 98, though, I mean, she can talk about anything she wants to, I reckon.
Exactly. I was like, yes, ma'am, and I went on.
I'm sure you're right. But it's such a, say she was 48, it's such a an indication of how little we attend to those beliefs and assumptions that exist in our minds. It's like, where does that come from? How did I decide what looks professional? What does that even mean?
Yeah.
It's just unexamined, but there's an assumption when I look at something and the voice in the head says, well, that doesn't look very professional.
Well, and it also, you know, goes also back to communication. I'm trying to do or talking about something else, and then I realize that the audience is more concerned about my hair.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of a, whoa, type of thing. It's interesting.
Well, and it's particularly telling when, because I happen to know you, what you're attempting to talk to them about is their health and well-being.
Exactly.
And what's going on in their head is a conversation about your hair.
I know.
That's when it's sober.
Did you get the message that I was talking about this surgery or this medicine or what have you? It's actually kind of a wake-up call and scary to me about, did you hear the other things?
Yeah. And I think it's really a good thing that you're checking, because I'm betting the answer would be no.
I have found that it is so.
Yeah, the amount of not paying attention to what's actually going on that people are doing is alarming. When the time that I most think about that is on the highway. You know, people are here. I don't know about everywhere, but you know, people are going down the highway 75, 80 miles an hour, just a matter of a few feet away from one another. And that same process is going on. You know, even if they're not texting, which does happen a lot, it's you know, dinking with the music or talking on the phone or just thinking about something, a conversation that they had or work or something they have to do tomorrow, whatever. But it's not driving.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
We just trust that we are actually here enough that it's okay. And of course, the dangerous part is that gets reinforced every day, because most of the time it works.
Yep.
We don't actually have to be present, and everything is sort of okay.
Yep. Until something really big happens.
Until it isn't.
You realize how much you weren't there. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
But it's been interesting. It was an opportunity. It's been an opportunity to practice, and I've been surprised, and it's been quite interesting. And like you said, communication, and it's been really interesting.
Yeah, and the, you know, the importance of one of the things that we do, we're really fond of, and would probably be something that you do. So would you reflect back for me what you just heard me say about your medication? And then let's write it down so that we're both clear that we're understanding here. And, you know, some people would possibly be offended by that. But I think most people would say, oh, yeah, that's a really good idea, because they're going to get partway through it and realize, I have no idea what you said to me.
Well, and I do. I, you know, let's recap. And I try to give people information written down, electronically, verbally, and I have my nurse go back in and reiterate it, and then, you know, ask them, okay, let's see what our plan is and what we're doing and stuff. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of not listening here. And I suspect in what I do is when I see that, I'm like, okay, how do I do that? Because if I'm seeing it, I do it too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. In fact, to this current email class—not the whole class, but the current class—on listening, and people are realizing. Well, that's the whole thing. People are realizing how much we don't listen. But just that, when the person is telling me what's going on with them, how much am I listening, and how much am I doing something else?
Well, and it. I'm type one, and one of the things is when I'm in communication with people, I'm trying to fix, diagnose, have an agenda, that type of thing. And that exercise really kind of hit me very hard. It's like, ooh, you know, and I do. In most of my conversations, I'm trying to, you know, fix something, advise something, what have you, and it's reinforced professionally. But it also is through and through type one. And I was like, wow, so that's what I'm doing in conversation.
Yeah, so when we talk about our karma perfectly has orchestrated our lives for us, what really better thing to do for one than to be someplace where perfection is the standard. And getting it wrong is really not.
It's really bad. Yeah.
It's really bad. Yeah.
It reinforces. And I look back in the choices I made professionally and how comfortable I felt choosing this route. But it's my kind of where my karma, where my type turns to and feels comfortable with doing. And I was very uncomfortable with subjective things, or at least that time in my life I was. So, but yep, that's what I've been seeing.
Wow, well, it's helpful, isn't it? Yeah,
it is.
And
helpful.
It's especially helpful when it gives us that just what we were talking about. You know, an insight into I have an insight into how I'm doing it. I have an insight into how other people are doing it, and so how can we work together to find the most compassionate place for all? How can we use what we know about ourselves to come to something that's going to be a good solution or a good approach or a good process or whatever?
And just, I mean, realize how much it's a struggle just to communicate, just to really have true, authentic communication.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to ask you to send me a picture of your hair because.
Well, you've seen it. You've seen it since I've cut it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
Even look kind of professional. So, what do I know?
it's just easier. I've come to a point where I'd rather exercise and. Spend my time doing other things rather than kind of beating my hair into submission.
It
is doing
that.
What it naturally does.
Yeah. All right. Well, you take good care of yourself, okay?
You take care. Bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. And thank you, everyone, and you, Sherry, for another fabulous show. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. You take good care of yourself, too, okay?
Yeah, and I'll look into that allergy suggestion. That's big, yeah.
Yeah, maybe breathe some pale blue into that throat.
Yes, and also your ideas about self-expression and changing identities, that's really spot on also, I think.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right.
Wonderful.
Talk to you soon. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.